Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. If you're giving gifts this holiday season and you're still wondering right now at 7 minutes past three on December 24th what gift to give your partner, your kids, your parents, your friends, etc., don't stress. We're here to help. Radio Boston's Anthony Brooks hosted a panel at the Harvard Bookstore in Cambridge earlier this month, and he sussed out that night some of the best reads of the year with a couple of very smart bibliophiles.
Joining me now is Rachel Betz-Cass. She's the head buyer for the Harvard Bookstore. And Rachel, good to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me.
We last talked to you about great summer reads. So
yes.
Here we are 6 months later in almost the dead of winter. It's great to see you.
Winter is also a great time to read. So,
and we'll talk about why. And to my right is Celeste Ng. Her debut novel, Everything I Never Told You, came out this year. She lives in Cambridge. She teaches fiction writing at Grub Street. Welcome to you, Celeste. It's a great pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let me start with you, Rachel.
Sure.
What's your view on how to shop for books as gifts? Do you just tick down the bestseller list, or is there a more imaginative way to go about it?
The bestseller lists are a good place to start. I do a lot of reading of best of the year lists, so I always like to see what other people have been reading over the course of the year, because inevitably I've missed something.
And as a head buyer for this great bookstore, what have you been seeing so far this season? Are there trends? What kind of book season has it been?
It's a really interesting season. Last year, there were some clear sort of front runners. Everyone was reading The Goldfinch, and The Goldfinch was great, and everybody wanted it to give to somebody for Christmas. There's no like one standout book this year that I've seen, but there's a lot of really interesting work coming out.
Celeste, let me come over to you. I want to ask you the same question. How do you shop for books?
Well, I also do a lot of reading of year-end lists, and I ask my friends for recommendations a lot. I find that's a good way to get books that I know, because I have a lot of friends who are serious readers, and a lot of them are writers as well, and I trust their taste. So if they tell me that they like a book, I'm usually willing to take a chance on it.
And Celeste, since you're sitting right here, you've got a debut novel. I'd love it if you would tell us something about Everything I Never Told You.
So this is my first book that came out in June. It's a novel about a Chinese-American family. The father is a Chinese-American and the mother is white. And they're living in 1970s small town Ohio. And when the book opens, their middle daughter, Lydia, who is 16 and who's their favorite, has disappeared. And we soon find out that she's drowned in the local lake. And this reveals a web of secrets that the family has to wrestle with if they're going to overcome this.
You know, it's interesting because one of the themes, one of the complaints over the years is that there are a shortage of books about characters of color, characters of diverse backgrounds. Your book, from what you've just described, sounds like a sort of corrective to that.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't intended to be, but I'm happy that it fits into both of those categories. One of the trends of this year, I think, is that people have tried to pay a little bit more attention to reading books by women. A number of writers suggested that this should be the year of reading women and asked people to just sort of pay attention to the genders of the authors that they read. And I think a lot of people have started to do that and started to realize, hey, we aren't reading a lot of books by women. Why is that? What do we expect out of books from women that we should be looking for?
Interesting. Well, let's move on and talk specifically about some titles. Rachel, I'll come back to you. What is sort of on the absolute top of your list in terms of what you're recommending this year?
So I'm going to be honest, this is a little bit of a hard book to recommend, but the best book that I read this year was called We Are Not Ourselves by Matthew Thomas. It's also a debut novel. It's sort of a sweeping, epic American family story. It sort of starts with a young couple, goes through their early marriage, having a child, sort of trying to pursue the American dream. And then this really terrible medical thing happens to their family in the middle of the book, and it's sort of about them trying to cope with that. And it sort of tears their family apart in all sorts of interesting ways. It's a really raw book, but it's incredibly beautiful and really powerful, and I don't cry a lot when I read, and I cried when I read this book.
Celeste, I'd like to come to you with the same question. Your top book, other than your own, your top book on your holiday list?
So one book that I've been recommending to everybody to the point that I start to feel repetitive and I keep doing it because I love this book is Euphoria by Lily King. It's I think she's written a few novels before, but this is sort of her breakout novel. And it takes place in the 1930s and it focuses on three anthropologists and a love triangle between them in New Guinea. And if that sounds boring to you, I promise that it is absolutely not. It's loosely based on the life of Margaret Mead and her husband, and a third researcher who then became Margaret Mead's next husband. And so there's romantic passion that happens in this love triangle, but there's also intellectual passion. There's a lot of really sort of big questions that the novel brings up about women and men and the jealousies that they have when they're both working in the same profession. It's just an amazing read, and the language is beautiful.
So that's Euphoria by Lily King. How about another one from your list, like a number two?
So a number two, another book that I've loved and I recommended to a lot of people so far is Bellwether Rhapsody by Kate Reculia. Kate Reculia used to be a local author until fairly recently. She moved away, but she used to live right around in this area. The best description I can come up with is it's sort of like The Westing Game, if you remember that book from your childhood, but for adults. It's sort of a murder mystery, but it's fun. It's dark and it's funny. I think I read it in about 2 days. It takes place at an isolated upstate hotel where there's a music competition. So if you've got someone in your life who is a theater geek or a band geek or an orchestra geek, this will have them laughing for sure. But there was a murder-suicide that happened in the past in the hotel, and years later this music competition is happening and mysterious things start to happen again.
Rachel, another one from your list.
Yeah, one of the other books I'm really highly recommending this season is a nonfiction book called Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson. He went to Harvard Law School and he is the founder of, I believe it's the Equal Justice Initiative. And he is down in Alabama advocating for people on death row, as well as other people sort of stuck within the justice system. For anybody who's interested in sort of the social issues that are going on right now and what's happening in current events, I really highly recommend it. It's really well written, and his work is really important, I think.
Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson. That sounds like a really, really important book that raises an important set of issues. I'm going to make a couple of recommendations. I'll sort of drop these in as we go along. And these are based on some authors who came in during this year on Radio Boston and talked about really some wonderful books. Warburg in Rome by James Carroll, who's a wonderfully prolific author. And this book tells the story of David Warburg, a young Jewish-American government official sent to Rome just after the Allied liberation at the end of World War II. Toward the end of the war in Europe, the Nazis are in retreat, and the curtain gets pulled back, revealing the horror of the Holocaust. And this is a book about an American aid worker and the quandary he finds himself in. It's really a fascinating read. And I'd like to ask you both this. Is there a particular kind of book that lends itself more to winter this holiday season? I mean, I'll start with you, Rachel. As I mentioned, the last time we talked to you, we were talking about great summer reads and whatever that conjures up, you know, lazy days on the beach or whatever it is. This is a different season. I'm wondering if it calls for a different kind of book.
I think it does. I think my answer for summer reads were books that really pull you in because there's so much happening in the summer and you might be reading on a beach and there are a million things happening around you and you need something that draws your attention and pulls you in and won't let you go. I mean, the same is sort of true for the winter, but I think of winter as sort of being curled up with a cup of tea and really having the time to sit and delve into something without as many distractions. So things that are a little bit longer, a little bit denser are the things that I try and tackle in the winter. I'm also trying to catch up on all the things from this year that I missed. So those are the things that I'm trying to read right now.
What about you, Celeste?
Yeah, I really agree. I feel like winter is a good time to curl up on the couch with a blanket around you and really kind of settle into a book. So a book that maybe is, you know, heavier emotionally or is heavier physically because it's longer. something that you're willing to sort of settle in with when you've got a lot of time. That's the sort of book that I tend to go for in the winter.
Rachel, I want to ask you about a book on your list. We had her in on Radio Boston. I know she did a great event here. Jill Lepore's The Secret History of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's a really cool book, and she's really fantastic. So Jill Lepore is a professor over at Harvard in American history, and she really delved into the creator of Wonder Woman, William Marston, and what his story was and what his ties were to the feminist movement and how Wonder Woman was really tied up in progressive feminist politics, a lot of people sort of complain about how there's a lot of, I said tied up, there's literally a lot of bondage in Wonder Woman. And a lot of people have a problem with that, but she does some really interesting archival research to show how that's tied to imagery from the women's suffrage movement.
So again, that's The Secret History of Wonder Woman by Jill Lepore. I think that's a great pick. I want to invite into this conversation Liz Schur. She's the children's book buyer here at the Harvard Bookstore. And let's start with the smallest kids, picture books. What are you recommending?
This is a great year for wordless picture books, I think. And then some of the best ones, there's Flashlight by Lizzie Boyd, which is this great, very intricate look at a nighttime walk. And then anytime a little boy shines his flashlight, the pages are completely black, but you just see this white triangle and then what's illuminated in that triangle. I mean, it's very intricate. It's really well done. It's like a work of art. And then at the very end, the twist is that the animals steal the flashlight and they start pointing it around. So you see it from their point of view.
What makes a good book for little kids? Is it pictures? Is it story? I mean, what grabs you?
Oh, I think it's the same things that make a book great for adults, like compelling characters, great story, good setting. It's just for slightly younger people, that's all.
So let's move on to a couple of top books from your list for middle grade kids.
I love the book that just won the National Book Award for Young People's Literature. It's Brown Girl Dreaming by Jacqueline Woodson. It's a memoir in verse. It tells the story of her family moving from the South to New York City. And then it ends when she's in grade school and kind of just discovering herself as a reader and a writer.
Now, you have a book on your list. I love the title of this. I want to hear about it. The Turtle of Oman.
It's a book that when you read it, you sort of think that it's going to be a classic coming to America story. It opens in an airport in Oman where a little boy and his mother are saying goodbye to his father. His father's moving to Michigan and the boy and his mother are going to come later. So you think like, okay, this is kind of going to be a classic immigrant tale. But then it sort of morphs into something completely different where the last week in Oman to get the little boy out of the house and out of her hair, the mother kind of sends him away with his beloved grandfather and they end up taking a tour of all of his favorite places. All of his favorite haunts and saying goodbye.
Liz, stick with us. I just want to tell everybody that this is Radio Boston. We're doing a special event from the Harvard Bookstore. We're talking about great holiday reads with Liz Schur. She's the children's book buyer here at the Harvard Bookstore. We're also with us is Celeste Ng. She is the author of Everything I Never Told You. That's her debut novel. We also have been talking to Rachel Betts Cass. She's the head buyer of the Harvard Bookstore. So Liz, how about YA literature, young adult literature? What have you got on that list for us?
One of my favorites is This One Summer, a graphic novel by Mariko Tamaki and Jillian Tamaki. I think it's really perfect at nailing that in-between period of adolescence when you're maybe a young teenager, when you're still really close with your childhood friends, but you're also just starting to kind of be curious about what all these older kids are getting up to. And also when the adult world, like your parents fighting or like sort of like grown-ups' personal tragedies are just maybe starting to creep in into your consciousness, but you're still a young kid. And somehow this book captures all of that in a really wrenching, really excellent way.
Well, Liz Schur, she's the children's book buyer here at the Harvard Bookstore. Liz, thanks so much for coming in
and
joining us. Rachel, let's go back to your list. What's next on your list?
Sure. Another book I had on my list was called Women in Clothes by Sheila Hetty. It's a really cool sort of giftable book because it's very beautiful. It's a paperback book, and it's really sort of a multimedia project. There are essays and interviews and diagrams and all sorts of drawings and all sorts of things, and it's all about sort of style and women's relationships with clothes, but it's a really smart book. It has contributions by Roxane Gay and Lena Dunham and Miranda July, I think. So it's really very smart. It's not fluffy. It's smart and interesting and thoughtful. I was going to say, you had mentioned before what kinds of books make good gifts and sort of what I look for when I'm shopping. It's really great to look for something that's really attractive when you open it up in a package, but if you're giving it to somebody as a gift, something that is impressive just opening it and flipping through it. So The Secret History of Wonder Woman is really beautiful. It has these end papers that are the original drawings of Wonder Woman, Women in Clothes, Cape Cod Modern, art books, things like that. I think is always especially nice around this time of year because you're presenting something to someone. So to have it be physically beautiful as well as content-wise beautiful is sort of extra nice this time of year.
And Celesting, how about from you, a sort of beautiful book?
Well, one of the other books that I've been recommending is 2 a.m. at the Cat's Pajamas by Marie-Helene Bertino. It's kind of shimmery, gorgeous. It looks almost like it's already wrapped in paper. It's got a kind of a pearly green cover, which makes it sound sort of it's almost like a little Tiffany box. And the story that's inside it also happens to be beautiful. There are three storylines. There's a 9-year-old girl who's grieving the death of her mother, but also really wants to be a jazz singer. And she's decided this is the night that she's going to make her big break on stage. Her fifth grade teacher, who is sort of struggling with her own secret romances, and a jazz club owner who's faced with the loss of his jazz club unless he can come up with a pretty substantial sum of money by the next day. And these three storylines kind of weave in and around each other in language that reads like jazz. It kind of dances and sings. It skips around. The narrative itself skips around. So there are little sections from the point of view of a dog who's wandering around town, and all kinds of characters, and there are all sorts of hijinks that go on around town. And reading the book is sort of like romping around town and listening to a jazz tune.
I want to recommend Roz Chast's memoir, Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant? We had her on the show, smart cartoonist for The New Yorker, and so she put together a graphic novel about the end of her parents' life. It's sad, but it's also full of Roz Chast type wit, and I'm pretty sure she was in here, right?
Yeah,
you had her.
Yeah,
she was just a wonderful, wonderful interview. But you know, it occurred to me that maybe there's some books that you don't want to give to some people. Like, I'm not sure I would want to give this book to my elderly mother, for example. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Which leads to a question I want to ask you both. I mean, do you ever think about that when you're shopping for books for friends or family members and think, you know, maybe this is the kind of book I shouldn't?
No, I think about that all the time, actually, because I, being a fiction writer, I tend to read books that have a lot of sad stories in them. And so, you know, sometimes you're reading this and you're like, I'm not sure that I want to give you this book that's about someone overcoming a really serious trauma, you know. So speaking of beautiful books, there's a book that I actually asked for and received from my mother-in-law as an early Christmas present, which is called Letters of Note. Sometimes really famous people, sometimes letters that people have written to famous people. F. Scott Fitzgerald writing to his daughter, for example. Jack Kerouac writing a letter to someone who he's really trying to convince to make a movie out of On the Road. And this is sort of a beautiful book where you actually get to see the letters that are written. You get to see children's letters to Roald Dahl where they have sent him, a girl has sent him a dream in a jar. And then they're transcribed so that you can read them. And so some of them are very old. You've got Mary Queen of Scots' letter to her brother saying, I'm to be executed tomorrow. and you've got all kinds of things, and they're fascinating. And so that is a book that I feel like is sort of safe.
Rachel, any books that might give the wrong message to the wrong person?
Well, sure. I was going to say, I think that's the great thing about giving books as gifts, because they can be so personal. There are plenty of books out there that make very safe gifts that are sort of beautiful and on a topic that you know that person is interested in. But you can also get very personal with a book and say, you know, this is a book that not everybody would love, but I know you well enough, and I know this book well enough that I know you will love it. And I think for me, We Are Not Ourselves, which I mentioned at the beginning, is one of those. I'm not going to give it to everybody on my list, but I know there are people I know who will love this book and be really moved by it.
And if we have any questions, just put up your hand. We'd love to get you, any of you in the audience here, involved in this conversation.
Barbara McMahon, and some of us have had a book group together for about 23 years, so we really do participate in conversations all the time about the best books. And quite often we disagree with the lists that are published. And I would say one this past year that was the subject of a lot of debate was The Goldfinch, because some of us really questioned why that was on everyone's list. And I'm curious, well, I didn't think the characters were all that compelling. I think she's a beautiful writer, but we also felt like maybe someone forgot to edit it a little bit. But so we're curious if you get much pushback from people? Like, after you put out your best books list, or, you know, we think, like, oh, the New York Times puts out their best book list, and we're like, three of these books shouldn't be on it.
It's a great question. Rachel, why don't you take a stab at that?
I think that's some of the fun of reading some of the end-of-year lists, is both reading the end-of-year lists, debating it amongst yourselves, and then reading some of the commentary about it that exists out there and people picking it apart. The Goldfinch is a great example. I know people who read that last year and absolutely loved it. And then I bought it for my husband for Christmas because I was sure he was going to love it, and he sort of said, it was okay. Everybody has their own opinion. That's a really fun thing.
Celeste, I think it's a great question because it raises the issue that these lists are maybe sort of guides, sort of, but take them with a grain of salt.
They're sort of guides, but I think they're always guides to the particular list maker's tastes. And this is sort of like, it's like the book equivalent of arguing about sports, I think. You know, you need to put out your list of, you know, your top five people so that you can kind of argue. It's a point of discussion. So it's always, for me, a point of departure.
Well, this has been great. And I got to say, this is the first time that Radio Boston has come into the Harvard Bookstore to do this event. And
we're really happy to have you.
Well, it's been really fun talking about books surrounded by books. It's just great. So Rachel Betts Cass, she's head buyer of the Harvard Bookstore. Thank you so much. And thanks for your hospitality. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for being here.
And author Celeste Ng, her debut novel, which came out this year, is Everything I Never Told You. Thank you, Celeste.
Thank you.
And we also heard from Liz Scher. She's the children's book buyer here at the Harvard Bookstore. Liz, thank you very much as well. And listeners, for a list of the books recommended here tonight and many more, you can go to our website, radioboston.org.
Holiday book recommendations with Radio Boston's Anthony Brooks, who led a panel at the Harvard Bookstore earlier this month. Dreaming of a wet Christmas? Hope so, because that's what it's looking like right now. We'll get a weather update from our meteorologist live coming up next. I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is Radio Boston.